Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. As I mentioned during the last podcast, I was recently on the Linux Link Tech Show. If you are unable to catch the show live, which was on about an hour after I posted the last podcast, I posted an AUG of the show at the LQ Radio site. Enjoy, and thanks again to the Linux Link Tech Show for having me. LQ ISO is now smart enough to know what country you're visiting from and show you mirrors in your country first. Of course, you still have the ability to choose from the full mirror list, but this feature should make finding a close download mirror that much easier. Over 600,000 downloads have already been facilitated by LQ ISO, and over 125 distribution versions are now available for download from over 370 mirrors. The road to 3,000 LQ Wiki articles continues. We are now well over 2,300 articles, but we still have a way to go. If you'd like to contribute, visit wiki.linuxquestions.org and jump right in. If you've never used a wiki before, contributing is extremely easy, and you may even find yourself addicted before you know it. Help us build the largest general Linux knowledge base on the web. And remember, all material is licensed under a Creative Commons license. We're always looking for Linux and open source news tips, comments on the podcast, and feedback in general here at LQ. You should always feel free to either email me directly, post at the LQ Radio blog or my blog, or send in an audio comment. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to head over to podcastalley.com and vote for the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. Thanks. And now on to the news. Thanks to Jeremy Zawadny, I was able to try out the Yahoo 360-degree beta today. For those of you who haven't heard of 360, it's a sort of Orkut meets LiveJournal type site that lets you network with friends while blogging, sharing music and photos, etc. Overall, I think Yahoo did a nice job here. The site offers the ability to blog, share reviews, has decent integration with other Yahoo Bits and Flickr integration, it has music sharing, and the ability to insert RSS feeds is coming soon. The site also has nice granularity over who can see what. It seems they are going after the average, not necessarily technically savvy Yahoo user, of which there are currently about 30 million or so. From what I can tell, they are offering a bit too much for the average user, but not enough for the technically savvy user, though. I think they are in danger of being in that middle ground that tends to not be overly useful on the web. As such, I can't see any mainstream bloggers moving to the platform, but as I said, I don't think that was Yahoo's intent anyway. I'd also like to see more integration with non-Yahoo bits, think Skype, Game, Technorati, things of that nature, and the ability to customize the site a little bit more in general. As it is, unless you are a heavy user of Yahoo's services, 360 is only going to be mildly useful, really. Lastly, we've yet to see any of the social networking type sites take off. Even Google's Orkut has been fairly stagnant as of late. I think many of the issues that plague the space haven't necessarily been solved here. All that being said, Yahoo seems to really be listening to users' feedback on this one, which is great, and today was its first day of beta. Overall, I think it has a lot of potential. Nice start, Yahoo. I hope you follow through and continue to improve this. Good luck. The second story is from NewsForge and is titled The Reinvention of Progeny: How One Foss Company Survived the Dot-Com Crash. This article details how Progeny, founded by Ian Murdoch, was able to do an about-face and survive the dot-com crash, something a lot of companies that were of a similar size and started during a similar time period definitely can't say. The company has completely stopped development on their two original projects, Progeny Debian and Linux Now, and is now generating a profit on a month-to-month basis. Ian covers some of the mistakes made along the way quite candidly, and the article is definitely worth a read. The last two stories I'll cover quickly. First, Mad Penguin has an article entitled Tux Goes to Court: How the Grokster Case Will Affect Software Libre. As you may have guessed from the title, the article, which is an interview with the EFF legal director Cindy Cohn, covers how the case could potentially impact open source. At the heart of this case is whether a company that comes up with technology is responsible if someone uses that technology to do something illegal, in this case, copyright infringement. A loss in this case really has the potential to stifle innovation, so it's something we should all be watching closely. Thanks has to go to Mark Cuban on this, who recently announced that he has agreed to finance the Grokster legal effort. In the last story, kudos to Intel, who sent an email to the OSI license discussion email list today, informing everyone that they would like the Intel open source license, aka the BSD license with an export notice, removed from future use as an approved OSI open source license. The growing number of licenses has been a concern as of late, and a large company stepping up like this and helping to not only slow the proliferation of new licenses, but reduce the number of current licenses is a step in the right direction. That's all I have for now. Thanks for listening.